This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are you doing that? 713.
That's just mean.
By the way, text line 713-572-4610. Somebody said they call Yordan Kawhi Alvarez. Don't do that to him. He is on the IL.
It is funny
dealing with the hand. I don't want to laugh at that. I don't. Although I guess it would track a little bit. Missed time, but then when he's there, he is an absolute menace. Typically, hopefully when he returns, earliest date is the 13th.
Yeah.
Hopefully when he does return, that bat comes back alive, and you have that because they really do need that offense. Because I know somebody was asking, is there a process? When I was saying that, hey man, it feels like they're process oriented. It is. And that's like they want to be, you know, selective with the pitchers that they swing at. They want to make pitchers work and everything. It just feels like they're not finding offense. But anyways, let's circle back around to these Houston Texans, where it feels like things are pointing towards the Texans playing International Lopez.
It really does. It really does. Let me lay it out, which it just kind of I was digging into this a little bit yesterday just for fun. Because the Texans were going to, I have it on relatively good authority, however you want to believe that. They were going to play in London, I believe, last year. But because Andre made the Hall of Fame, they had to play in the Hall of Fame game, which makes their season even longer, which makes travel. So they kind of made that trade-off. Played in the Hall of Fame game rather than go internationally. So they were going to play last year, all right? There's only three teams that are on the Texans' schedule that are playing internationally this year. The Jags are playing in London.
Mm-hmm, as they want to do.
Yeah. The Colts are playing in Berlin.
Okay.
And the Chargers are playing in Sao Paulo, Brazil. All right? This is not hard and fast rule, but they tend to not want to play division games internationally. There have been some, but they tend to not. But then there's this, and this kind of made me go, okay, maybe they are going to play internationally this year. In 2022, the NFL instituted a rule that teams have to play internationally at least once every 8 years. Well, the last time the Texans played internationally was 2019. So this will be year six.
Right.
So they have to play. They're going to have to play internationally this year or one of the next two.
Okay.
They were going to play last year. Okay. So it kind of makes me wonder, the combination of C.J. Stroud, you know, big time star, one of the top jersey sales. You know, the Texans are a team that's won the division a couple of years. They were going to play last year, et cetera, et cetera. And they have to play at least once every 8 years. It's kind of pointing to maybe start the season in Sao Paulo, Brazil. How does that grab you against the Chargers?
So of the three that you've put up, right, you have Jags in London, you have Colts in Berlin in Germany, and then you have Chargers in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Chargers in Sao Paulo is the one that I want the least.
the least.
Absolutely.
For football reasons, I agree with you.
For football reasons specifically, yeah. Right? This is a Chargers team that will be year two under John Harbaugh, and they are only getting more Jim Harbaugh-ier. They're leaning even further into those principles that they won. And yes, you handled up against the Chargers in the first round of the playoffs. And you mentioned it relatively early in the season. I don't want to have to deal with a team that I think can be a level of menace on the road like that with a very
schedule, putting a bad field. Remember that?
That was a thing, right? They're trying to find a way to have some level of quality leveling when it comes to playing on the road. I don't want to see the Chargers in that instance. Like, not that I'm afraid that, you know, the Chargers are better than this Texas team, but there's a lot of things that you're figuring out with this Texas team right now as well, including the offensive line. Like, you talk about field, right? How does traction happen with all these guys as they're making some level of associations with each other and trying to find a cohesiveness when it comes to the offensive line unit? There's a lot of things that come into it that make me not want to play the Chargers, even though I know there's people that are interested in the Brazil game, especially because the time, like the actual time of the game and the time difference isn't as egregious as playing in Europe. I just don't like that particular matchup in a space where you're playing that on the road.
No, for football reasons, I don't either. It just occurred to me, like, now they have eight teams that are playing internationally this year. Eight. And so that leaves 24 teams that are going to, eight of which are going to travel.
Yeah.
So by default, the Texans have a 1-3 chance this year of playing internationally. They haven't played in 6 years. They were going to play last year. They got some star power with C.J. Stroud. They're a hot team. It just kind of points me in the direction of, I think they're going to be one of them.
It just seemed like just the years since. It's about that time. It's about time to get a jury duty.
Get jury duty.
That's the thing, is also like, are people interested in these international games? Because I think more than anything, I'd be like, I'd rather not, for the most part. And one of the things that's nice, though, is that you're not having one of your home games go on the road, which is part of why I was like, actually, spare me on the Chargers game in Sao Paulo. I kind of want to see a division game on the road.
I was just going to ask you guys that. Would you rather see Colts in Berlin or Jags in London over Sao Paulo?
I would.
A division game?
100%.
A division game, but nevertheless, I would.
I mean, also a reason to not go play at Lucas Oil Stadium, or I guess in one way, not go play at Everbank. Like, if they take that game away from there, I'd actually be happy about it, right? I understand that there's like a level of comfort within the confines of it. But yeah, move that to a different dynamic and like have their road game be one that is a compromise in some ways by having it in a neutral site situation rather than anything else.
And even outside of that, though, like, it felt like that game mean more because it's a division game instead of just playing the Eagles or something where, you know, it don't matter. We ain't going to see the Eagles again in 3 years or something. So it seemed like a division game would make it more, like, a little bit rowdy.
The other thing that's
fighting for a spot.
Yeah, the other thing that's interesting is that a division game can be at any point during the year. The Brazil game, I can almost guarantee, is going to be the first game of the year. So
Because
of the travel, it's a 9-hour flight from Houston, 9 or 10, I forget, from Houston. So you have all this buildup, then you have to come back and you're beat up and you know, the time crunch or jet lag, whatever you want to call it, et cetera. I think, to answer your question, most people say, oh, it's cool. But that's about where it ends. Texans are playing in Brazil. Texans are playing. Oh, cool.
I think it's a cool way to. I think it's a cool excuse to try to go on a trip.
Yeah.
Like, if they were playing in Texas, I mean, if they were playing out the country, I would be like, ooh, let's try to. Yeah. Maybe we could try to do a little trip or something out the country. But outside of that, I wouldn't.
Just getting it done in Brazil would be, that's daunting, man. You know, from their perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be big time.
Yeah. So we're about a week out from schedule release when we'll get some answers to all
of these. A week
from
tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get answers to all of these kind of thoughts. Will they be playing internationally? You know, will they possibly take a division game international, especially as we are having more and more games internationally? So, yeah, we'll get a level of feel for that. How do you feel? Because, I mean, we're talking about division games. People are looking at this Texans team as, you know, running away with this division, especially even after we've seen kind of some of the teams in divisions hit their needs a little bit harder than I think you could say the Texans have, although you don't know, I guess, how much do you want to talk about the Texans having needs necessarily, but hitting their needs harder in the draft and such. Like, you feel good about the Texans in the South?
I still feel about as good as I did going into the draft. I think there's been some interesting things. I'm starting to squirm a little bit about what the Jaguars have done, especially, you know, with Travis Hunter and all that.
I thought you said you didn't have to worry about the Jaguars.
I've been saying it. Don't worry about the Jags. Don't worry about the Jags. I'm just starting to squirm a little bit about that. I still don't have a lot of confidence in the magnificent Gladstone and Duval, Mr. Duval over there. I think the Texans are clearly going to win this. Going to win the division.
And obviously, in ends to trying to win it, right? Your players are going to matter a little bit. D'Amico Ryans was talking yesterday at the charity golf tournament that the Texans have annually, the River Oaks Golf Club. And one of the things that he talked about that we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Mm-hmm. We were really infatuated with. He was talking about Jimmy Ward and him returning from injury, but then also like the role that he has on this team with all of the additions that they've had in the secondary.
Jimmy's doing fine. Jimmy's on the road to recovery as well. He's doing fine. He's out of his boot now. He's starting to get back into running a little bit, so he's in a good spot. And Jimmy is a great football player. I love Jimmy. I love how he plays the game. And again, same whenever Jimmy is ready, I know Jimmy can help our football team win games. We saw him make game-changing plays for us, big-time plays and big moments. And whenever he's out there, he'll do it. He's a football player. So what I love about him, he's played multiple spots in the defense. So I'm excited to see just whenever he's ready, it doesn't hurt to have a lot of good safeties on your team.
Hold the mic for still, and first of all, but you brought it up a good point yesterday. Like, what is Jimmy Ward's role going to be?
I think he's just next man up, right? Mm-hmm. He is a guy that with obviously some leadership in that particular space, mm-hmm. which I don't know that you've necessarily replaced. Like CJ Gardner-Johnson has experience, but particularly leadership in that secondary, I think he has that. But then also a dude who's pretty malleable and can step into any of those roles that you need. And I know that you have young guys, but I also wonder how much he's going to be like big bro, mm-hmm. right? You brought in quite a few young guys, whether they're cornerback safeties in the draft and such. I think that there might be a level of kind of rearing some of those guys into the D'Amico Ryans system. He is one of those guys that has mm-hmm. quite a bit of experience in what D'Amico Ryans wants. And I think that he's going to be a level of glue guy in that space. He's going to be a level of OG in the room. And then also just a guy that can step into any one of those roles and play them at a high level, which I think insulates you from injury a little bit more, which I know that one's a little mm-hmm. bit less because you have some of those young guys that have come in. But knowing that you have a guy that can come in with the experience and with the track record to play at a certain level, I think matters a really big deal.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how many spots on the depth chart are open for competition at this point because of that. Because they love Jimmy Ward. You know, they brought in EJ Speed. It'll be interesting to bring to see, you know, what they do with Christian Harris. But the depth chart is already damn near set.
Yeah, and we were talking about it yesterday about, like, is it possible that he could be somewhat expendable? And just hearing D'Amico talk about him really mm-hmm. does make me go, oh, that's right. Like, they just love him. Do you ever wonder if, like, the our kind of guy then puts too much of a blinder on this team at all? Because it does feel like that's, like, he is our type of guy. We love the way that mm-hmm. he plays, which, I mean, there is absolutely value to that because you want to embody the system that you're playing, and he does that a lot. But do you ever wonder, because, I mean, it does feel like you could probably, if you needed to save a little money in that particular space with some of the ways that you've addressed
it? I think it's more than fair to wonder that. I think Exhibit A is on the offensive side, and not to just bash the guy, but I think they've been somewhat blinded by Damian Pierce. You know, Damian Pierce is one of their guys, does everything the right way. They like his toughness and, you know, how he commits to everything, et cetera, et cetera. But there were. It's hard to say there haven't been some blinders, you know, when it comes to Damian Pierce. Looking at his production.
Yeah, but although it does feel like they responded or they actually addressed some of these things in the draft in such a way where it does feel like maybe they're opening up the opportunity that through camp that those guys that they do have a lot of love for mm-hmm. might find themselves on the outside looking in simply by the nature of competition, the watchword for them. Because it does feel like, hey, if you put Woody Marks in that room, and he might end up running back too. Like, mm-hmm. it just might happen that way, where all the love for Damian Pierce be damned.
Yeah.
If that guy produces in such a way, especially with all of, like, the pass catchers that they've added, mm-hmm. With the way that Nick Caley, however he brings in his offense, does that then incentivize them to go, hey, this guy fits what we're doing more, even though we love what you do.
And sometimes they're right about it. You know, it was it was easy to question their devotion to Jalen Petrie.
Yes,
it was very easy to question it, but it worked out. And now he's found a role. They've put him in a different spot, and now he's got a contract too.
That's right. So there you go. Real quick before we go, we were talking about the international games, and a fair question that was asked from the 713, what is the end game to all these international games for the NFL? Like, none of these countries are going to start a league, which, no, I don't think that that's going to happen. Although, yeah, the logistics of putting teams overseas still does not feel like it it quite adds up, at least not to me. I don't know what you think there. It does feel like they're playing the TV money game, where if you can build enough of an international audience, you're doing the thing that, like, soccer is doing, where they have, we have a domestic TV deal, and they're making a lot of money, but what happens if you go, all right, so now we have a deal with, like, Sky Sports in England, or we have a deal with whatever Euro television station that we have, and I'm sure that they have them now, but, like, what don't they become more lucrative if you have a stronger audience in all of these places, and then that just generates even more revenue on something that I don't know that you can keep squeezing the TV revenue here, but what happens if you now start squeezing the TV revenue internationally? Then you see more and more money tick up, which is ultimately the name of the game.
That's the end game. The end game is money. The end game is always money. And I think legitimately Roger Goodell and the NFL want to place a team or two in Europe. I don't think it's realistic at any point.
They definitely want to try.
They want to try it. And I don't think it's realistic at any point in the near future, but they definitely have it on their mind. But let me flip the tables a little bit. You know, everybody like, oh, Premier League soccer in the United States, it'll never take. They got pretty damn good ratings here.
Yes.
They have really good. If you look at the ratings of the Premier League on Saturdays and Sunday mornings on Peacock, et cetera, the Premier League is happy with the money they're making.
It's
here.
A lot of fans here too,
yes,
man.
Yes.
Like, it's a reason why they throw a lot of these watch parties and stuff like that, man.
Yeah, so I think that's ultimately the game. 346 said, if the Texans play in Brazil, I'm going. I bet you are. I bet there's going to be a lot of folks.
Wonder why.
That would go. Yeah. We'll find out in about a week if you have to book those tickets when the schedule release happens. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confessions as we always do next.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, you want the sports confession first or the non-sports confession first?
What do you think, Fig?
Let's keep it sports.
Keep it sports, first of all?
Yeah. That allows me to get my non-sports off.
Oh, okay, good. So,
not that he have to, you know, I just...
Yeah, I'm about to say, is it a rule?
It's not a rule, but the non-sports one is going to be fun. I definitely want to get to it because, anyway, so let me get to the sports one. You foul up three like the Thunder did.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Knicks one. They both did it. Both of those games were really similar. Anyways.
I'm a big advocate of fouling up three, and they're getting criticized like crazy. The only thing I would criticize on that.
I'm so sorry.
They did it with 11 seconds left. That was the problem. Like, they're getting torched about, oh, you know, it backfired, and they're bad. Well, we all know what happened at the end of the game. They ended up losing. I am a big advocate of, you know, especially in the backcourt, you know, fouling up three.
Right.
They're in the bonus. You don't want somebody to have to maybe get a shot up and it all of a sudden becomes a 4-point play or something. But I'm a big advocate of you foul up three. I hate that people are criticizing the Thunder for doing this. The only thing you can criticize, do it with 4 or 5 seconds left, not 11.
Well, you can't wait till 4 or 5 because typically teams will go around.
But they can
like
still come
seven.
Up the court.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Yeah, they can still come up the court.
Yeah, so let them come up, maybe
you're
run
You're not an advocate of fouling up three when you're...
I'm so surprised because I...
Really?
I know that you're not like prototypical old man basketball fan, but like... I'd be inclined to believe you closer to old man basketball fan, which is, hey, dog, just play defense.
Well, no, they do have
worst
good
thing, worst thing to do is tie it.
Yeah, that's where I'm kind of at with it, man. Yeah. I'm like, man, just don't make this too complicated, man. To me, it seems like you're trying to outsmart people.
But you do outsmart them.
The logic of it works.
But if you are three, man, yeah. you got to make a three to even tie it.
Yeah, so foul them when you're up three, and the best they can do is two.
Yeah, no, the logic of it makes sense.
Yeah, but not with 11 seconds. That's where I went, ooh, that's a little early.
And it's illogical, but I never claim myself to be a perfectly logical person. I think I actually just want to see people play defense. Like, it makes me kind of sad. And I think, you know what it might be? I just kind of don't love the idea that the game in this crucial moment where everybody is on the edge of their seats is being adjudicated at the free throw line as opposed to in the court.
I don't care what they think. I want to win a game.
No, I understand. And that's like, I will not begrudge the people that use it. Yeah. Just within me, like, if I'm being entirely honest, I'm like, play basketball.
Yeah.
Play defense. Mm-hmm. Be a man. Like,
especially
that's what goes through
defense.
My head.
Yeah,
but and also, Chet missed a couple free throws.
That was it. That was the difference.
Both free throws.
Yeah, that was the difference. Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Which, hey, Chet, that's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem.
I think I messed up yesterday.
You did?
Uh-oh. I think I messed up yesterday. In trying to do a good thing that I would do again, which was, yesterday was important for two reasons around these parts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
And it was also Ron's birthday.
This is correct.
And so, you know, Ron came through, and when they started their show, he was like, man, I feel like I'm going to get some margaritas.
Yeah, he did.
And I started thinking, I might be able to do that for the homie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the fellas get on, they start talking, they're like, Reg, I know you're listening, go get the margaritas. And I was like, wait, first and foremost, get out of my head. And secondly, now I got to go get the margaritas. So, you know, I was like, let's go get the margaritas to go.
Cool.
Let's get the margaritas to go. I went to El Tiempo Cantina because it's close. And I didn't price them.
Oh.
I got a text from Clint because Clint is that dude where he was like, look, I'll buy you fly. I was like, all right, bet.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, I was planning on doing this. And Figgy, you can attest to this. I was next to you. I was
he was on the phone.
I was planning on doing this by my lonesome.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, bet. So I went to, you know, the best margs in the city, whatever. Mm-hmm. Went, got them, brought them back. They were fantastic, strong.
Yeah. They always are.
They cost. That, like, bringing a gallon.
You bring a gallon? Let me guess.
Please.
A gallon from El Tiempo, which they're expensive anyway.
Just
all due respect.
Just the gallon alone.
But I also got queso. I also got queso. But
I'm just going to say just the margaritas.
Yeah.
A gallon. I'm going to say $70.
Okay.
I'm going to say 90.
Up.
Higher than $90?
You played three figures for the margaritas.
Ooh, man.
God, dog.
Right. And I was just like, look, doing it for the homie. And also,
we're
going to get some, I'm going to get some recoup on the back. So that's nice.
Yeah.
So I went home after the show. I did take a nap. I just fell asleep.
That's what margaritas will do.
That's right. That's right.
NyQuil.
That's right. But then I woke up and I was like, oh, that's right. I was supposed to text Clint.
Mm-hmm.
So I texted Clint And I didn't even say like the whole cost, but I was like, I'm putting in a little bit. So, you know, I brought the cost down a little bit. I was like, hey, I think this is like just $80, right? I have not received a text back.
Oh, wow.
Clint Sterner. And I'm not doing this to shade Clint.
Your hands are tied.
Uh-oh. I'm not doing this to shade Clint because, like, I was already in the place.
Tune in at 155.
This is not shade. The I recognize that this is
presented by D&M Auto Leasing.
That is
He's
not what it's
all
supposed to be.
Clint's business out
However,
there.
155, guys.
Because I didn't think about it. I was just like, yeah, this is what it costs. And then when he didn't respond for a little bit, I was like, oh, did I mess up? Did he? Because he might have not have thought that it would cost that much. I didn't even price them out. Like, I didn't try and find the best deal. And I was like, I think I messed up. I should have found a better deal for a gallon
those
of margaritas.
Are good. No, they're great. They're just expensive. Text him right now and just text, still waiting.
Nah, I'm not doing that.
Double back.
I'm not doing that.
Still waiting, Clint.
Hit the double back.
I'm not doing it. I already feel guilty enough that I spent three figures on the margaritas.
Yo, dog. Did you get my text yesterday?
But yes. I feel like I messed up by not looking for the cheapest margaritas I could have gotten for the money.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your websites, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so I got to confess, I'm officially old now because I heard a term that I never heard before, and this could be an old term, just never heard anybody use it as much. So yesterday, remember I played the guy, the young fella, Devontae Yaps.
Yeah.
Who like to talk about the game and the players and all that
stuff.
Here
we go again.
Are we doing this again?
No, we not. No, okay, I'm just trying to set it up a little bit. But so a lot of people on the internet was calling him like Gooner A. Smith. And
that's crazy.
Coming up on Goon Takes.
Yeah.
I had no idea what gooner means, man.
Can you please explain it to someone else who doesn't know what that means?
Oh, no.
For a friend. I explained it for a friend, John Lopez. So gooner apparently means it's a, I guess, a derogatory term for someone who is addicted to sexual or sexualized content.
Okay. No so idea. That made, did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Not in that specific way. Yeah. I basically contextually came to understand that it was about self-pleasure, which they turn.
Is that what they call it now?
that is the most clean way that I could get that one.
The Google machine.
Oh, yeah. On the work computer. Good for you. But no, I took it to understand, like, they took goon, which meant, like, at least previously, I had understood it to mean, like, you know, somebody who was brolic, who, you know, would be willing to get you out of here, right?
Yeah.
Like a villain and his goons, goon.
Yeah, I look at it as a gangster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh, you're also a goon. That is one of the meanings.
Sure.
Two meanings came up. That one, and also a gooner is a fan from the Arsenal football
club. Well, yes. Those are the regular ones.
Yeah.
Those are the regular ones. These kids done gotten out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually talked about that. I think Lopez was off during that time. I think it was Friday. Talking about all of these new words and terms that they just changed over time.
Yeah,
and it used to mean good, but now it's like ugh. But yeah, I did not know what goon. I was wondering why everybody kept calling them a gooner.
Yeah, and that's the one that's very uncomfortable.
Here go this
to me.
Gooner. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is a gooner? Because that
well,
was
now
a,
we know.
I thought that was like a thug or like goonies.
Yeah, like a goon. No, yeah,
me and my goonies or something.
And this is a reminder. Don't be getting out here trying to use this young folk slang, because you might mess around and say something that you don't mean at all.
No, sometimes you might use a old term.
There is a scenario.
Oh, he's a goon, and they're like, what?
That's exactly what I was going to say. There is a scenario in which I would say that to someone. Yeah. You're nothing but a goon.
Yeah.
What?
Or even if you watching basketball, be like, man, Dylan Draymond Green.
You be like, wait, what?
Exactly.
We need a goon to take him out. What?
Oh no.
You what?
No.
I see you, my goonie. I'm like, what?
All right, so this is my confession about the Met Gala, which has been making all kinds of news the last couple of days. We mentioned LeBron, unfortunately or fortunately, couldn't make it to the Met Gala.
People thought he was retiring the way he tweeted that one.
Yeah, he said that the sprained MCL that he had was not going to allow him to go. His queen still went out there, Savannah, and I was like, I think he's lying, but I also very much respect it. Yeah. Like, hey, man. Minor inconvenience that I could use to get out of doing something that I might not want to do.
But here's
count it.
We're all familiar with the term the Met Gala. It's huge. The biggest of
it's
the
a big deal.
The biggest of the big stars go there. Patrick Mahomes was there. Did you see Stephon Diggs?
I did. And this lovely lady Cardi B.
Yeah, and like Hollywood and politicians, and it's huge. But my confession is every year I have to look up what it is. Do you know what the Met Gala is? Other than it's a huge event,
it's like a fundraiser.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser. I can't remember what it specifically raises money for.
Yeah, my question.
Is it the Met?
I don't know.
Is it the Metropolitan
Vogue magazine for costume design?
No,
my question is,
they're
are you sure?
Yes, Vogue. I look it up every year. I never remember.
Yeah. See, my question is always like when you go inside, what are y'all doing? I never see anybody inside.
I guess they take their phones or discourage or. Yeah,
that's why I want to know what y'all doing in there,
it's
man.
It's a fundraiser.
Are y'all?
Oh yeah, it's right. The Costume Institute benefit.
Yes.
The
are y'all like swapping blood or something?
Like this is to me kind of like the apex, the highest of the high, cool kids lunch table. Like the only reason people go to the Met Gala is because they know it's huge and big stars are going to be there.
Yeah, fashion. It's fashion for folks.
It's just a cool kid's lunch table.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I kind of think about it like this because we had local galas and stuff like that for schools and trying to raise money and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just be wondering like, all right, y'all on the red carpet, y'all go in and all that stuff. What y'all doing?
Exactly. That?
Like, do y'all got a table? And what y'all eating?
It's
are y'all
amazing.
Dancing? And like, is it that off limits?
It's amazing what it's become, and it's a fundraiser. That's all it is.
I actually watched probably two segments of the gala. I turned to Channel E.
That's what I'm saying. People know that it's where the beautiful people go.
This is all you see. I don't know what it was, but you just had people like, yes, look at her, Angela Bassett. Oh my God, look at that. I'm just like, damn. I'm like, y'all really into this, huh?
There are a lot better, you know, charitable organizations that could benefit than costumes.
Probably, but they are putting that on, to be fair. They are indeed putting that on. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I saw online an alternative method for ranking the worst teams to have ever made the Super Bowl. Who do you think the worst team to have ever made the Super Bowl is? 713-572-4610. I'll give you empirical data next. All right, what's the worst team to make the Super Bowl of all time? 713-572-4610. Also, Lopez wanted to say, what's the worst Texans playoff team?
This is why I want to have some fun.
Okay, all right. We'll get there. But I was being a weirdo, snooping around on the internet, ended up on Reddit. I said that I've been doing that a little bit lately. And a user, pan_no_commie, has been looking at an alternative method to rank various different teams. And it is utilizing, and they started with like ranking the 10 worst NFL teams of all time, period. And they used they tried to use worst margin of victory to give them a little bit of insight into who they viewed as the worst team of all time, NFL team of all time. And I found kind of interesting the places that they got to when they were trying to find the absolute worst. Mind you, if you are looking for the absolute worst, is the...
worst Super Bowl team?
Well, no. When the
worst team.
Yeah, they were looking just
worst
like the worst team.
What's the worst
team? I'll get you to the worst team that has made the Super Bowl.
It's got
to
be the Saints.
What
way
year?
Back in the day.
You know, just one of those years back then. Yeah, it actually isn't the Saints. It is a team that was an expansion of sorts. And the Houston Oilers do come up. The 1973 Houston Oilers.
Oh, that was, I think they won three games?
One game, one of 13.
Yeah.
And they also finished 1-13 the year before that. So they were pretty low. Their worst loss considered week 11 in that season versus the Patriots, where they lost 32-0 to a 5-9 Patriots team. The worst team of all time, according to this metric, was the 1976 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They were 0-14, kind of had that reputation. First team to go winless in the Super Bowl era. So, like, all the things kind of tracked.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And the same user also came around and had the alternative method to ranking the worst teams to ever make the Super Bowl. And I'm interested to see if
you
guys...
Yeah, that's the one that got me thinking.
Can you pinpoint some of the worst teams on this top 10 list? They have top 10 up here. 10 answers on the board when it comes to the worst teams to make the Super Bowl.
And this is all-time Super Bowl.
This is all-time Super Bowl. Or I think this might be Super Bowl era.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, Super Bowl
post-merger
team. I want to say there was one way back in the day that you guys will definitely not remember, but the Rams were pretty bad.
The LA
Rams were pretty bad, and they, I think they were like, I forget their record, but they were.
Don't worry, I got it for you.
Yeah.
The 1979 Los Angeles Rams.
That's the one.
9-7.
Yeah.
Was their record, where divisional round they faced the NFC champion Cowboys as the underdogs. They won there, and then they followed that in the conference championship game against the Buccaneers in Tampa. They got a victory there. They did lose the Super Bowl, though, to the Steelers.
They got killed, right?
31-19.
Yeah, they got crushed. That's the one that came to mind. Another couple that came to mind. Where do the Panthers here rank?
Okay, so the 03 Panthers.
Are they not on there?
Number four.
All right, so what was the Rams?
So the Rams were number three.
Number three, the third worst team.
So, like, just off of that alone, does it feel like the way that they're going about this, like, works?
I mean, those are the ones that I thought of.
No attempt is going to be perfect.
Yeah. So you going through talking about the whole season and leading up to that Super Bowl.
They just were almost like an undeserving Super Bowl.
Okay, yeah. The Giants got to be up there, right?
Giants should be up there, too.
With Eli?
That's a good one.
There you go. That's the answer. The 2011 New York Giants.
They're number one?
Number one.
Yes.
That 9-7 team. And
yes.
They actually won it.
They won on a crazy run once they got in the playoffs, man. That was unbelievable.
Okay, now I got to figure out who's number
two. Okay, you want to keep going?
At least number two. Let me guess. Arizona Cardinals? Hey, look at that.
2008 Arizona Cardinals were 9-7 that year. Yeah. And that was arguably the worst NFL team, or the Cardinals as an organization.
This might be crazy for me to bring this up, but what about the Chiefs from last year?
Oh, wow.
Taking shots at Clint. You're taking shots at Show.
No, I mean they went 15-1 or something like that just lost in the Super Bowl. But they weren't winning. They weren't beating these teams by a lot, man. Yeah. I think the only time they beat a team by more than one touchdown was the Houston Texans.
Can't believe you're doing this. Number seven, 2024 Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, wow. Good call, Figgy.
So I don't know if we can keep this in our back pockets to throw at Kansas City.
Ron kept saying that was a bad team.
They weren't that good.
That's what we saw. Like, that was the thing that was frustrating
for
me.
They were so beatable,
all season long, was just watching this team.
They were so
constantly.
They were so beatable, man.
What I call them, they were getting away with it all-stars.
Yes.
Like, it just
they
felt
almost
like they
lost to the Raiders.
Getting away with it.
They were just getting away with it.
Like, it just felt like they kept getting away with it. From the 832, they came up with the Trent Dilfer Ravens. And funny enough, those Trent Dilfer Ravens, let me make sure I'm not missing this, but oh yes. No, these aren't the Trent Dilfer ones. These are the 2012 Baltimore Ravens who came in eighth worst. That was the Joe Flacco Ravens.
The Trent Dilfer Ravens had that defense.
They had a good defense.
That defense was incredible.
Yeah.
Which is funny because you would think that when you go margin of victory that would put them in that space.
Yeah.
But it actually did not end up in that situation. So, yes, those are some of the other ones. I feel like you guys are probably out of guesses here, but you did a good job. You got number one. Number one obviously being that 2011 Giants. You had the 08 Cardinals at two. You got that. The 79 Rams. Man, you did a damn good job. 03 Cardinals, or Panthers rather. You mentioned the ones that played here in front of Janet Jackson. And then number five, the 07 Giants, rather. So both
Giants are on their top both five, of them. And they both won.
Well, this is why we can't put Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame. It's why you have,
or maybe it's why you should.
No,
man,
no.
They were bad teams, and Eli just put that team on his back.
No,
they got hot in the playoffs. That's what it was.
Eli got hot.
No,
Hall of Famer Eli. That is
some of the other teams that you guys didn't get in there. 86 Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
John Elway reached his first.
They got crushed.
Yeah,
they got crushed in the Super Bowl.
Yes, they did. 39-20 versus the Giants.
Giants.
So they lost by 19 there. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the Ravens in 12, the 1980 Raiders,
mm-hmm.
and the 2015 Denver Broncos, where...
I was thinking about that one, too. I couldn't remember how their whole season was.
Was that Tebow?
Was that... No, that was Brock. Was that Brock Osweiler? No, that
2015?
The Broncos?
Are y'all real right now? The 2015 Peyton Manning, or as I like to call him, Williams
that
Manning.
One. Oh, that one.
Yeah, no, that's the one where Brock Osweiler kind of carried the team a little bit.
Yeah, when he was out.
And guess who gave him that contract?
Yeah, you're right. Which leads to, let's have a little fun and be completely honest, the worst Houston Texans playoff team ever.
So
the one that come to my mind is the one with Brock Osweiler, right?
There are eight options here, right? It's not like you have a crazy amount of them, right? You went 11-12, and let's be honest, those are not even anywhere near on the table here, right?
No, those are the good ones.
Thank you. Okay, you have 15-16.
Ooh,
one of those is a more
that 15, year, that 15 Osweiler one, year. That 15 one was bad.
That's the one that got spanked by Kansas City, right?
Yeah, I wasn't even living here. That I remember that one. I'm like, poor Brian Hoyer.
I love that you have playoff teams in little groups there. Mm-hmm. You have obviously 18-19, both of those Watson quarterback helmed mm-hmm. Teams, and then you have these past 2 years where I also feel like we can go at. We're not putting. I know this past season, I don't think that we're putting that up there, even though the offensive line was atrocious. Or do you want to have the conversation?
I would put that as one of the worst
because that defense was just so damn good.
This past
the
year,
defense was good. Here's the thing that's a little scary. You just brought it up. They've never gone to the playoffs 3 years in a row.
Not once.
They went in 11-12, 15-16, 18-19, and 23-24. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, what are you doing right now?
Yeah.
I viewed that as here they're about to make franchise history here. Because what you would be implying here is that this is a team that does not win the AFC South.
I said let's have some fun.
That was fun. Where's the fun within that?
Put the sage in that studio.
Yeah, I mean, get that out of here. I don't like that.
Dude, those 2015 Houston Texans.
And I feel like you're doing the thing where you're skipping the one that it should be, which I think is 2016.
Really?
Yeah,
because I think that was the year they beat, I forgot who was the quarterback for Oakland at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they barely beat the third stringer.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Connor something?
I'm trying to think who it was.
Was that Connor Cook? Was that the Connor Cook year?
Yes, with Bill
mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, you got two Tom Savage starts that year.
Oof.
You don't remember that?
Oof.
Yep.
The law firm of Osweiler and Savage.
Yes.
That's
the one I remember.
That year.
Yeah. I think he was still getting crushed. Bill O'Brien's getting crushed.
Doesn't matter. They won the division.
Yeah, that's right. Back to back.
Doesn't matter what it looked like.
Yeah, it kind of did. That team was bad. I think either of those, but that was definitely a bad team.
I think everybody knew it wasn't going to last either, man. Mm-hmm.
And just to circle back to what we got here with, is if you're talking about via margin of victory, how you are making this, the team that would be at is that 2016 team. Their margin of victory was very, very poor.
Their last three wins in the regular season, these are the final scores. 22-17, 21-20, and 12-10. Those are their last three wins. Doesn't matter, Brian. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that was a mess, too.
And that was against Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and the Bengals. They beat the Bengals 12-10. To get to the playoffs.
Who was starting in that game? Because I think it was around that time. I think Osweiler got benched, and then
was Savage. Yeah, I think that was.
What a wildly different time you're in. So then, okay, if that's the case, we did look at the teams that did make the playoffs, the eight playoff teams that you have, mm-hmm. where would you rank that 2024 year comparatively?
I think 2012 was the best team still that the Texans have ever had.
Okay.
That was the J.J. Watt. We all know, you know, how he his big coming out party against the Bengals and all that stuff. You know, obviously, Schaub was still in good mode. It was good Matt Schaub.
Correct.
Arian Foster. Good defense. That, to me, even more than 23 and 24, was the best team that the Texans have ever
over
had.
Over 11, huh?
Over 11, yes. Over 11 is when Schaub got hurt, right? Or Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I'll say 2012 number one. Maybe 2024 number two. Maybe because of the defense.
But that offensive line and the ways in which it hampered your offense.
Yeah.
Like, it's so tough because the defense was so good, but the offense was so hampered. And I don't know that mm-hmm. I want to say that it's bad, but the offense was actually pretty bad when we got to that place.
Yeah.
It's just, it was so, the juxtaposition made it so evident,
mm-hmm.
especially because of how talented your team was all the way around in the other spaces, that it made it so obvious.
Yeah.
That was not, yeah, it didn't compete, but yeah, the defense was so incredible this past season. And looking forward to, hopefully, doing the thing that you hadn't done yet as an organization, which is go to the playoffs 3 years in a row. But two, like, this team does have the potential to be better than one of those
maybe best ever,
because that defense still is here.
Yeah.
Like, the defense is still here at a high level, mm-hmm. and I think it's reasonable, even though year over year I will typically say the defense is one of those things that does not translate year over year.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like this is a place where it feels I feel comfortable saying that the defense should be still in that same neighborhood.
Yeah,
just be passable.
How y'all feel about 2019?
The 2019 Texans?
Was that the Kansas City meltdown?
That you know what? That was a good squad.
That was a good squad. Because you had the Honey Badger on that team and all that stuff.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I thought that team was going to go far.
Yeah.
Well, it was up 24-0. I thought that was the time.
No, that was a good squad. That's up there for sure.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get back to these Rockets. There's been a lot of talk about if you were aggressive, who are you aggressive for? Let's talk about the potential candidates for that and which ones we like, which ones we don't like. What are some of the factors involved? We'll do that next.